Thanks, everyone. Thanks for sticking it out to the last presentation of this session. First, I'd just like to have a couple acknowledgments. My boss, Carl Enzine, who is in the audience, and has accompanied me on these very long journeys to the Pacific Islands and co-led these strategic planning workshops with me. I'd also like to acknowledge our executive leadership at ASTO, Katie Sellers, Dr. Paul Jarris, and especially like to acknowledge the staff at the Guam Department of Public Health and Social Services and the staff at the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands Department of Public Health Services. Thank you to our funders, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the OSDILTS. I have no financial relationships to disclose here or anywhere, unfortunately. For this session, I'll be describing the participatory process used to set strategic priorities and develop a strategic plan with an integrated performance management system in two island jurisdictions, Guam's Department of Public Health and Social Services and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands Department of Public Health Services. I'll also be explaining the approach's alignment with Public Health Accreditation Board FAB's prerequisites for accreditation and then discuss lessons learned. So I'm just going to do a little bit of level setting. I work for the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, more lovingly known as ASTO. ASTO is a member organization whose primary membership is comprised of state and territorial health officials across the United States, DC, the U.S. territories, and freely associated states. We also provide support and technical assistance to leadership across the health agency. And while the majority of our work actually is focused on the health agencies, we provide a lot of support to the U.S. territories and freely associated states, including Guam, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, the Republic of Palau, American Samoa, the Marshall Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So today I'll be discussing two jurisdictions in the Pacific, so you can see them on the map here, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands and Guam. As you can imagine, the challenges differ greatly between states and territories, not only from a geographical perspective, but also they are more resource limited, and many of these jurisdictions provide more direct clinical services to their communities. So Guam is an unincorporated territory of the United States. It is the largest and southernmost of the Mariana Islands chain, and it is the most populated. It does have a history of colonialism, starting with Guam's discovery by Spanish explorer Ferdinand Magellan in 1521. Major ethnic groups include indigenous Chamorro, which make up a little over 37% of the population, and Filipino, which make up just over 26%. It does have a very fast-growing population of Yapis and Chukis from neighboring Micronesia. Public health is included within a larger umbrella agency, and it includes five divisions, public health, senior citizens, environmental health, public welfare, and general administration. Overwhelmingly, the leading causes of death are related to non-communicable diseases, particularly heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. These top four leading causes of death are associated with NCDs, and they comprise more than 60% of the overall mortality rates in Guam. Guam has worked pretty aggressively to tackle a lot of these issues, and it has developed a strategic plan with their NCD consortium that looks at specific actions to combat modifiable behavior contributing to NCDs. The Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, CNMI, is a U.S. Commonwealth territory. It's comprised of four municipalities, the Northern Islands, Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. The majority of the population resides in Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. CNMI was also colonized by Magellan in 1521 and exchanged hands to Germany in 1899 and then to Japan in 1919. CNMI was a scene to some of the worst and most bloody fighting in the Pacific during World War II and was invaded by U.S. forces in July 1944 and became an official U.S. territory in 1975. So just a lot of these historical factors, you know, really impact the culture there. Major ethnic groups include Filipino at 30%, indigenous Chamorro at 23%, and Chinese at 16%. Public health is included within a larger agency known as the Commonwealth Healthcare Corporation, CHCC. CHCC includes their Division of Hospital Service, Public Health and Community Guidance Center, which is the primary provider of mental health and substance abuse services there. Within the Division of Public Health, there are six programmatic bureaus: communicable disease, non-communicable disease, public health emergency preparedness, maternal and child health, environmental health, and WIC services. Public health also has more administrative offices. It has an office of the medical director and performance improvement and financial management and vital stats. Similar to Guam, CNMI has very high rates of NCD. The leading causes of death are heart disease, cancer, and stroke, which comprise more than 40% of their mortality rate. These data are a bit dated, so these numbers are actually higher than they were in 2005, which was the most recent data that we could find. So just a little bit of background. The Public Health Accreditation Board, known as FABS, Public Health Department Accreditation Process, seeks to advance the quality and performance within public health departments. It has developed standards and measures by which public health departments can assess their performance and define the expectation of services that all health departments should meet. There have been two versions of standards released by FAB, the most recent being version 1.5. One of the requirements for jurisdictions seeking accreditation from FAB is that they have to conduct and adopt and implement a department strategic plan to meet measure 5.3 for accreditation. ASTA staff were approached by both Guam and the CNMI to work with them to develop their strategic plan to meet these requirements. ASTA worked with both jurisdictions in the months leading up to the workshop to define the process, identify participants, and review needs assessment documents before traveling to Guam in October of 2014 and CNMI in March of 2015. We facilitated a four-day strategic planning workshop. We worked with the larger umbrella agency in Guam and just the public health division in the CNMI. So this is ASTA's seven-step strategic planning process. This process meets FAB's prerequisites as it relates to measure 5.3 for accreditation. So the strategic planning process started months prior to ASTA's workshop. In the organization phase, we worked with leadership from the department to identify who should be involved in this process and make sure that there was representation across the agency. We collected and reviewed documents essential to understanding the work activities and challenges faced by the agency. For the mission and vision, this is really critical and it's the foundation to the strategic plan. The mission answers why an organization exists or should be, or its purpose, and the vision describes what an organization wants to achieve or be known for. This provides a framework from which the agency's work is conducted. Once on site, we reviewed the mission and vision of the agency, discussed whether this was inclusive of all of their work, and made necessary revisions. So with Guam, we actually kept their original mission, and then we developed their vision with them. So Guam's mission that they developed was to assist the people of Guam in achieving and maintaining their highest levels of independence and self-sufficiency in health and social welfare. Their vision that we developed with them was empowered people of healthy mind and body living in a safe environment throughout their lifetime. In CNMI, we actually developed a new mission and vision for them. And their mission was to support and empower the people in the CNMI through health promotion and the prevention of non-communicable diseases. And their vision is families and communities within the CNMI living healthy lifestyles. So each program or division were asked to have a representative present their environmental scan. These presentations addressed priorities of the division, current activities, challenges, successes, and then trends and risk factors of the populations being served. For many people, they work very siloed, and so for many of them, this was an opportunity for them to learn across the different programs. After each presentation, we led a focused discussion to extract cross-cutting themes, priorities, and challenges. From there, we went into the strategized process. This approach included both individual, small group, and large group work. This ensured that all voices in the room were heard. Strategic priorities were developed based on the focus question, how will you meet the mission of the agency over the next 3 years? These were 3-year strategic plans. These answers became strategic priorities, which were then refined and prioritized based on a reality check exercise that we conducted to see if the agency had the needed resources to take on each priority area. After we'd identified the strategic priorities, we had a visioning exercise where participants envisioned where their agency would be in 3 years. This helped inform the milestones that were then developed and the associated activities to meet those milestones. So the final piece to the workshop was developing an integrated performance management system linked to the strategic priorities and activities that we outlined. The performance management system is Excel-based, and it identifies measures, frequency of data collection, goals, and red flags. These goals and red flags ensure that agencies are tracking and measuring their progress and performance, and it can indicate when an agency may need to reevaluate a measure or priority if performance falls below their identified red flag. We also developed a communication timeline to assist in the implementation of the strategic plan. And then finally, for the revise section, we didn't actually do that with them there, but over the course of the last few months, we've actually gone back to Guam and the CNMI 6 months after the workshop to review the plan, make any necessary revisions, and then kick off the implementation. In Guam, this also included a process mapping workshop to map their recruitment and procurement processes, which were part of their strategic priorities. So this was a very participatory, hands-on approach. We really tried to make sure that all of the individuals involved had their say. We tried to make sure that we were accommodating to the different styles that people like to learn and participate, so individual, small group, and then large group. So the results. The final deliverables that we developed for these jurisdictions were a mission, vision, and value statement, the SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats after the environmental scan, an operationalized strategic work plan, an integrated performance management system, and then a communications timeline for implementation. So in Guam, we developed six priority areas, and these were split into Tier 1 and Tier 2 priorities based on that reality check exercise that I discussed earlier. So the Tier 1 priorities are the ones that were the most critical to the agency and included workforce development, modernizing and supporting information technology and information systems, improving organizational structure and processes. And then their Tier 2 priorities were enhancing their regulatory framework, undertaking targeted client-centered public health and social service initiatives, and improving their financial sustainability. And CNMI, similarly, we had Tier 1 and Tier 2 priorities. For Tier 1 priorities, they identified improved data capacity, establishing financial sustainability, developing workforce, and building capacity. And then for Tier 2 priorities, developing and implementing policies, strengthening their partnerships, and developing education and outreach activities. And a lot of the Tier 2 priorities were established as Tier 2 priorities because they were already doing work in this area, and it was really critical for them to work on the Tier 1 priorities that hadn't had much attention before this. So some conclusions. A lot of the Pacific Island jurisdictions face similar challenges, particularly around health information technology and workforce development. Both jurisdictions discuss challenges with an aging workforce, which I think, you know, extends outside of just the Pacific territories, and the need for succession planning, and then difficulty hiring and retaining staff. And so those are some major areas that we're looking at. Data collection can also be very challenging, and many of the programs are working off very siloed, manual type of platforms, mostly Excel or Access-based. So many of them are looking into robust data collection and the need for more integrated data systems. Using a participatory approach was very important. Agency staff across programs felt invested in the process and the products developed. I think when strategic plans can be developed, they're sometimes developed at a very high level and then trickle down to the rest of the staff, but this did have participation across all the different programs, and so many of them felt invested in this. The strategic planning process can be used by departments and programs to guide work to meet an agency's most pressing public health needs. This really captures you know, the essence of FAB's accreditation requirement for a strategic plan. It can be done at the public health level. The local health departments are also undertaking accreditation processes, but it can also be used at a programmatic level. So we've actually gone back to CNMI and conducted a strategic planning workshop with their NCD Bureau to address some of their very pressing NCD issues. And then priorities linked to performance measures ensure accountability and implementation of a strategic plan. So it really helps once you've developed a strategic plan to make sure that there's accountability and measures that can actually be linked to those. So some lessons learned. It was really important to have leadership support and buy-in from the very beginning. We worked very closely with the leadership staff in Guam and the CNMI to make sure that they had this support. A comprehensive environmental scan is also really important to understanding the communities being served and the agency's strengths and weaknesses. And then finally, ongoing support and technical assistance is really important to ensuring implementation. It's really easy to conduct a workshop and then leave and, you know, circle back again, but it's been really important for us to have ongoing video conference calls and even, you know, more in-person meetings to make sure that implementation and support is, you know, really backing the strategic plan. And I would say finally, one thing that I didn't include here is that we did conduct survey evaluations after each day to help formatively evaluate the workshop. And I think this really helped us structure the workshop to make sure that we were meeting the needs of all of our participants. So this is our contact information. I'm at the top, and then my senior director, Carl Enzine, is there. And then a shameless plug for you to go to our website where we have our strategic planning guide. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. So we have a set of excellent presentations, and I was wondering that how do you get these projects to go to these nicest places of the world? Okay, we have quite a bit of time, so if you have any questions from the floor for our presenters? Yeah, please. Do you know who is not covered?
Actually, my colleague is here. He can answer this question, but as I know, the richest people can be out of this system, and people who are not registered to the system, how can I say, the most mean part, less educated, less with old people. If they don't have any ID card, they are not registered to this system. Maybe by
so it is the rich and the poor. Any other questions? Going once? Okay.
first presenter, you grouped, I think, FAIR, there's a self-assessment of your health status. And you grouped FAIR with good and excellent, something like that. Did it change your analysis when you took FAIR out of the kind of good assessment and put it on the other side of the poor assessment?
I grouped in two groups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, middle is FAIR.
Yeah, you put them with the good.
I selected half and half rate to group. So there is included in good status group.
So you just looked at the distribution and chose half to become good and half as bad. But the question is, what would happen if you don't include those who are fair? If you don't include them in the good group, then does the result change?
That's something you might think about doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Any other questions? If not, we can now break down. And thank you very much. Another first of the presenters.